Yes. So you got the new incarnation?
I forgot to send it to Swami Radhika Maharaj.
Oh.
You can send it to him.
Yeah, now I send it.
So basically, you know how you say, after where we started on this new section, with great enthusiasm, you know, everyone's going. Then we decided, okay, so all that stuff with music got cut down to, where did you get these from? Oh, from the other, okay, I was going to say.
Forget about those things for now.
Oops, that's stuck. This is what will be, yeah. Means the book, means it'll go back to what's in there now, the last few chapters. But everything to do with music in between, then it's taken on this new form.
Condensed form.
Slightly, like one chapter's this long.
That's our size.
Yeah, because it's the main thing of the Chaitanya Upanayana is the principles of it. So you can have two levels. You have one is the overall principles and that much, and so whatever detail it makes you understand the principle and can relate it and use it, then that's the main thing. Then the second would be more detail. If someone wants to do music, then they would go into more like what was there before. And then from there, then actually learn music. Always seems warmer until you sit down, you know, because you don't move, so then the cold creeps in. Okay, so we went through this, no?
Yes,
ma'am. Up to
almost finished. The second page ending?
With what? Oh, just means based on the intervals? We kind of did that.
Those three definitions, Maharaj, you can do it again. I just...
Means the
Murchanas and... The Murchanas, Jatis.
Oh, okay.
We did that, but it was like...
Okay. Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahanau punaktu sahaviryan karavavahai tejasvinavadhitamastumabhidvishavahai Om shanti 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 Om jaya shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Okay, Chaitanya Upanayana, Anatya Shastra, chapter 28, instrumental music. So then in the section on the seven notes, then Murchana. Okay, well here, let's go, we'll just do the one before. Based on the interval of Shrutis, right, means the Shrutis themselves then have the 22 Shrutis, and so they have a particular distance apart that they are. They are of four classes, such as sonat, vadi, consonant, samvadi, asonat, anuvadi, and dissonant, vivadi. Right, so as we mentioned, you have the main note. That's the main note that everything is centering around in your tune. It's the important one. Everything is moving off of that and transferring off of that. It will always have one note that is the second main note, because they always connect to each other, right? Just by nature, just like let's say a fifth up and a fourth down, they're going to connect. They're just the same note. Right? Means if on a scale you go up seven notes, if you go down, you'll get the same thing. Does that make sense? Means, let's say I am on pa, the fifth note. So now if I go up four notes, I'll get the sa. If I go down five notes, I'll get the sa.
Ah, yes.
Do you understand?
Yes.
So they're connected like that.
Yes.
Right? And if I go sa, I go up five notes, I get the pa. If I go down four notes, I get to pa.
Yes, yes.
Like that. So whatever is a note, it always has that, they're connected. Then you have the note that's, you don't want that note in there. It gives the wrong flavor.
Yes.
Right? That's all. It just gives the wrong flavor. That's the whole point. And then the so here in dissonant, it means it just does it dissonant to the emotion. And then asonant, that means it's just a note in there. It's just the other notes, and that they're used to move around and bring out the main note and the assistant note. Right? Does that make sense? And so, therefore, you're working around the main note to the assistant note and back, these like that, with the other notes, avoiding the one that doesn't match.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like that. So even if it's a part of the notes, it's not emphasized. You won't hold it. You'll just move through it.
Mm-hmm.
Then moving through it, it works, but you don't hold it. That's the main thing. So the main note and the secondary note, those ones you can stop on and hold. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Then there are a total of 22 shrutis in one set of notes or group called grama. It means all of them together, that's called, that is the gram or the village, the 22 shrutis. Out of that, you're going to pick the seven notes. As we said, they're grouped together.
Yes.
You know, there's four, a group of four, then there's a group of three, then two, then four, three, two, like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, thus, grama is described as a group of scales consisting of all the shuddha and vikra swaras collected together. Means whatever you could do with those notes in that particular form, that will be that grama. They all match together. And then from that, you have so many scales you could make, so many ways you could go through it, therefore so many melodies you can make and everything like that. So it just means it's an overall. So you can see it's a mathematical understanding at this point. Like that. So we're working with all the seven notes. They're all going to have their emotional position, you know, and what they're expressing. But we're talking about the mechanics now of just how you go from one note to the other, what notes are included and everything like that.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Just like, let's say we're working out, okay, we're going to cook a big feast and all that. So, okay, what do we want? We want this preparations. Okay, who's good at that? So this cook cooks this one, and that one, he's okay, but better to have this one help him.
Yes.
Right? So then we have these five cooks. So up to now, we haven't actually cooked anything or gotten any, you know, thing out of that, like that. But it's a matter of, you know, and then you could work out, okay, he's going to cook over here, that one's cooking here, and then like that, we don't have space, so, okay, we could cook the sweet rice first and that, so they'll come early in the morning, they'll cook that, then we'll clean, and then they'll be for the next guys and like that. And then let's say the last guy who's doing the puri, he'll do that at the end after we've cooked all the sabji. So you set three times where the guy's going. You understand? You're just mathematically figuring out who goes where and what and who matches with what. Right? Does that make sense? So I can't have the guy deep frying the puris and the guy deep frying the cauliflower at the same time. That's dissonant.
Yes.
It's not going to work. You know? But, you know, somebody's cutting the sabjis and another guy's doing this, that'll work. So you're just mathematically working it out. So up to now is this. At one point we're going to get to the moods. But at this point it's just the mathematics. Right? Because that's all. Every situation it's a matter of you have the mathematical calculations. Then you have the application. Right, yeah. Murchanas. From this group, grama, any desired set of seven swaras with a specific starting point, when sung in the natural order of ascent and descent, is called as murchanas. If the number of swaras chosen are less than seven, they are called tanas. Right, it's the same thing, because in when you're dealing, then in a melody, you can have the seven notes, but you can also do it off of six or even off of five. I think it's not an uncommon thing. The I think some of the Oriental music, Chinese and that, is pentatonic. They use five notes all the time. They don't use seven. You know, it gives a specific flavor. like that. So that's their mood, so then they use it. So you have all those, that whether they use all seven or like. So in any case, if they use all seven, it's called a murchana. If they use less, they're called tanas.
Yes.
So basically, you're saying is that of that, you have this group of 22, what do you call it?
Shrutis.
And so you're going to within, you know, and the shrutis, I said, are grouped around the seven notes. So which shrutis you pick, you know, like that you have your seven notes, and whether they're going in a straight line or you go up and come back or, you know, like that, depending upon, we said, the motion and mood, then that's called the murchana. Like that. Does that make sense? Now I think they call those tots, even. Yeah, but it's so it's not a fancy thing. It just means that now you've had that, now we're going to choose notes, that's called a murchana. So if you change those notes, that then you're adjusting the murchana. So generally you won't do that. Right? And if you do, then you want to, if you're using instruments, you have to do it in such a way that your music, the instruments can keep the same tuning. So in other words, I may use ones that use the same tuning, but I'm adjusting how I'm going to use the notes, but I don't have to adjust the tuning. Right? Because some instruments, you tune them in a certain way, you have to retune. Mm-hmm. Certain things, it has all notes. Mm-hmm. So that's why in the tradition, the vina would have 24 notes. But as it is now, sitars, they only have 17. Mm-hmm. You know? They only have 17 frets, so that means 3 frets are missing.
Yes.
So if you want to change something, you have to move the frets around. So before, the vinas were there, they were fixed, everything, like the guitars is fixed, you know, like violins, they don't even have frets. So you can get any note, and if someone changes, you can immediately change. So you have to consider these things, that's right. Jati.
What is the difference between Svara and Shruti?
Svara and Shruti.
Shruti
is the interval, the quarter note intervals.
Between Svara, between
Svara. No. Between each other. There's quarter note between each other. Within that, let's say in sa, I mean sa will be the note that you've picked.
Yes.
But it could be any one of 4 swaras. I mean shrutis. It's just like this. Okay, you're going to have soup.
Yes.
Okay, you could have, what do you call it? I don't know what you'd say in French. We in our grossness say croutons.
Croutons. Yes.
Okay. Have to get the nose involved, right? Like that. So then, didn't it say someplace where it said where it echoes in the head, it gives a particular rasa? And so the French, it was a particular thing. Oh, I think it brings out, I think, emotion and sentiment and sensuality.
Something, yes.
So the French, where they use the nose and the head, it actually brings out the sensual aspect just in that, you know. Like that. So, yeah. So you have that as a bread. Or let's say we're going to have those kind of breads that they take them and they bake them to their heart, you know, on the side. Or then we have a roll, or we have, you know, what do you call it?
Croissant.
Yeah, like that. Or we have a variety of our crackers. We have a variety. So, but the thing is, it goes with the soup.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Which one do you pick?
Yes.
Right? You pick one.
Yes.
So, all those kinds of breads, those are the shrutis. The one you picked, that's, that's the what do you call it? The how you say, is that swara? No, is the seven notes.
Yeah, the
that'll be sa.
Yes.
Right, because you're starting in the beginning. That's
yes,
your soup.
Yes.
You get it?
The shruti are the different type of bread.
Yeah. So it means you have 4 different notes, quarter notes apart, that could be that first note.
Yes.
One of those is picked.
Yes.
That is sa. Then within the next group of shrutis, there's 3 notes. One of those is picks, that's re. Within the next group of shrutis, there's 2 notes. Then within that, one is picked, and that's ga. Then within ma, there's four notes. Within pa, there's four notes. Within ni, there's, I mean, da, there's three notes. And within ni, there's two notes. Mm-hmm. So in that way, within that group, you've picked.
Yes.
You know, it's just like, or I'll say in another way. You have so many shoes, so many pants, so many shirts, so many hats, so many ties. You go in there and pick one from each. But at the end, you end up, you're not wearing three ties and two shirts and like that. You picked one. Be quiet, because you want a particular mood.
Yes.
You know, you're being more sober, you pick one color, you're being more, you know, kind of that, you pick another color.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? You're dancing, you pick these shoes, you're running, you pick those shoes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing, is that the shrutis, the 22 shrutis, are all the different emotions that are there. Then within that range, then you pick that specific emotion, which you want, and that combination that you put together there, that's called the murchana.
Yes.
Right? Because that will be a particular group of notes. They go together as a certain thing.
Yes.
So the murchana means it's a tuxedo, it's a casual wear, it's sport wear, it's like that, amongst what is there.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? No? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah? Kind of? Mota Moti? Yeah, she's thinking, but there's only 22? Yeah.
Also, Maharaj, one more thing to understand is like, you have one note, you press, you get a sound.
Right.
And then exactly double the frequency,
mm-hmm.
you get the same sound, but with a higher intensity.
Mm.
So that is the scale
mm-hmm.
which we measure within with.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are 22 notes within that, because that's what we can identify. With our ear we can distinguish.
Mm-hmm.
So it's mathematical. Actually the shrutis are perfect mathematical things.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is the inverse, and then you do that, it's like 22
mm-hmm.
in between you can get. So then the swara is that why the gapping is different is because that gapping gives a particular sweetness or so that's why there are only seven in between, because it has that sweetness to identify between those. There are only seven. So the swara is the main thing, and the shruti is just form automatically because it's a mathematical distance between them.
Yes. So is that, in other words, that what do you call it? What did you call the seven notes?
Swaras.
Swaras, yeah. So the swara is the main thing, but it can be chosen from the 22 shrutis. Right? Does that make sense? So shruti is the basis. So then, you know, in other words, having an outfit, that's the most important thing. Does that make sense? That's what you're trying to get, is the outfit. So, yeah. So then, yes. So it's all been worked out. It means it's just like this is, as we see, is each Vedic science, as you get into it, it in itself is an ocean.
Yes.
You know, we'll just say, okay, music is one of them, but in it on its own is an ocean. Just like dance, it's an ocean. Drama, it's an ocean. You get into any one of them, you know, the ritual is has unlimited aspects to it. And they all have reasons that go back. I don't remember now, but there is a calculation why there's 22. You take this and this and you do this and you mathematical thing, then you'll end up with 22. Does that make sense? You know, so you would think, oh, you could get more, but you won't.
It's being proved. Some modern music scholars, they said, oh, Shruti is just a theoretical concept. And one Indian scholar, he made his doctorate degree on the proof of this.
Of the Shruti.
Yeah, because Bharat Muni already gives how to experiment and make that. This 22 Shrutis are asked.
How to do that, yeah. So it's already, but it's there. But I saw what's very simply explained, that you take sa, you know, it means the first note, sa, and then you have pa, And then there's a way of calculating. So when you do that, you're going to end up with from here, you go there, down there, and then we move up to here, you go there. And so you'll always get this certain thing. Because if you have the sa and the pa, you go, like you said, you go down four, you go up five. But now, let's say from here, now I go down five, and I go up four. That'll establish the ma. And then if I take the pa, and now I do the same thing, I go, then I'll get the re, and I'll, you know, the re and, what do you call it? Forget what it is. So in pa, you go up five. Yeah, you get re, but if you go, well, both ways, you get re. Like that. And so then you end up with like this, getting your different notes. It's some kind of thing. Because that's the thing in the Vedic, it's so simple, like in Silpa, that the Astapati was telling us that all those, you know, like you've seen sometimes on the roof of the old, like especially the older style temples, ancient temples, there's all these far out geometric designs, small designs all over the whole thing. That's done with a handkerchief and a piece of chalk. You'd think, wow, they got to get out this. Because modern, you'd have to do this whole thing and lay it out, and they'd have to, you know, probably print out this thing and paste it on the ceiling or something. All they do is they have a starting point, they measure it, and then from that, then they figure it out. They like that, then they mark their points around the edge, and then he takes the handkerchief and the string and the chalk, and from there he goes like this, and then from that goes this and this like this, and he ends up with these amazing designs. It's all just done, but he knows the formula for doing it.
Yes.
So that's the thing, is that the Vedic, it can all be done, you yourself can do it. It doesn't require technology, like modern to get sophisticated require technology, but in the Vedic you don't require technology. You know, it's just like, you know, to tune a piano, they have to have these machines and all these things like that. But before, it's just, you know, the notes. You know what it's like we say, what does a peacock do? Meow, meow. You know, that's it. No, everyone's going to do that same level because they always do that. You know, so that's, you know, pa, or whatever it is, sa, you know. And so like that, you can establish. So it's all really, really simple like that. But it doesn't mean that if you want to calculate the mathematical formula for what they're doing, it doesn't mean that it's not some big monster calculation. But it's worked down to that it's so simply it can be done. Like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. Jati. When a harmonic individuality was established with the help of Amsha, starting note, Nyasa, ending note, Vadi and Sambadi, etc., the merchant is turned into Jati. There are 18 Jatis in total. Okay, so now we have what notes you can get, right? And so we've done. But then the Murchana. But now when you choose from in that, which is the starting note, which is the ending note, you know, where is this Vadi, Sambadi, and all that, you apply now those things of the consonant, you know, somebody, vadi, somebody, anuvadi, and vibadi. And you apply that now on the murchana. You know, you're getting more, coming in more technical. Now you get a jati.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So it's, yeah. Okay. There are 18 jatis in total. So all the music, all the Vedic music is found within these 18 jatis. Because then you within that they have their position, and then you which one you bring out, which one, because it's all emotions,
yes.
You can get unlimited music.
Yes.
So it's very, very technical, but at the same time very, very simple. So you have to be very expert to be able to use them. Like that.
Maharaj, the person we are using that, they need to have a strong foundation.
Yes, yes.
That, and also to follow, actually. Follow.
Yes. Yes. To make it easy, because we may not be able to take that one thing and get so many things out of it, is that then Narad Muni, then he made it easier by giving ragas. Because you could sing the one jati in so many ragas.
Yes.
But we wouldn't know all that from that one thing. So he just broke it down and just gave the ragas. So we may not even know the jatis they come from. Does that make sense? It just makes it easier. But even that they've left because it's too difficult. I shall now speak of their distinction in relation to the sentiments, rasa, and the states, bhava. Okay. Chapter 29, Strength Instruments. Adhyaya Prakashika. The current chapter elaborates on the rules of uses of stringed instruments in a dramatic play. The 12 kinds of bahir gita, or musical performance held before the actual beginning of a play, includes playing of stringed instruments. This forms a musical prelude to prepare the audience for the dramatic spectacle which will follow. And it also gives everyone time to come, since no one comes on time, right? This forms a musical prelude. The very elaborate instructions as regards the notes, tala, lai, etc., of the 12 kinds of music described shows with what seriousness the ancient masters looked to every part of a dramatic performance from the standpoint of music. The stringed instruments, such as the veena, possess various characteristic features, such as varnas, melodic movements, alankaras, musical ornaments, gitis, system for classification of rhythm, dhatus, radical sounds. That's as close as they could get. Okay, it must be that there are sounds that are very, you can do all kinds of unique sounds on them that are not just an ornament in playing, because the ornament is how you're playing, but it's Riti, styles of procedure. These how they would, slower, faster, different things, etc. The current chapter elaborates these topics and elucidates on how these different features aid in enhancement of various sentiments and emotions in a dramatic play. Verses 1 to 16. Application of jatis to different sentiments. The jatis should be made in the application of dhruvas by the producers, right? Dhruvas are the songs, right? They're four-line songs, like that. After very carefully considering the sentiments, the action, and the states in the play. Right, so depending on what's going on in the play, you have your songs, and then how those songs then match in the play, and then what music and how it'll be presented of the song to match that sentiment and that you're trying to get across in the play. So you can't just put any music for, any song, somewhere in the play. It's got to match. So the play is there, the song matches that and what it's saying in that. The music has to match, everything matches together. So that's why it's so technical, because you have to exactly get the sentiments. Like you see this when Rupa Goswami is describing how all the five kinds of bhavas mix together. Then you see then there's so many aspects. We say the seven, the five main rasas, the 12. But then all the things that you're considering, it comes out to be, 49 or something? 41. And that's there. And then you have all the fineness of the sanchuris and all that within it. How it'll move. So that's the... Because you're dealing with emotion, and emotion's very, very refined. When a note representing a particular sentiment is prominent in a jati, the producers, in regard to the production of such a sentiment, should combine the song with it. I.e., should give it a prominence there. Because remember is that the particular note, whichever you make is the main note, that carries a particular flavor.
Yes.
And then all the other flavors of the notes are supporting that flavor.
Yes.
For example, a song in the conjugal and comic sentiments should abound in many madhyamas and panchamas, i.e. should be jatis containing these notes in profusion, right? Where those will come out more prominent. Because we see the ma and the pa, they support that conjugal and that comical. That's why they go so well together. You even have it in the modern, they call it romantic comedies.
Yes.
It means you can have a romantic drama, and that'll be intense and all that, but the other one then has its light moments. And in the heroic, the furious, and the marvelous sentiments, songs should be made with many sajjas and rishabhas. You know, so sa and re. You know, so those will come out as more prominent because they have more that heroic, furious, marvelous, that kind of more, you know, stronger aspect like that. And the song and the compassionate sentiment should be full of many gandharas and nishadas. Right, so those two go together. Similarly, a song in the dread and the ghastly sentiment should have many daivatas. Right, so in other words, when you're making it up, you want to see is that that note comes out more prominently. It's all around that note and playing off of that note. It may, the other notes may be there in the melody, but it always comes back to that note. So therefore, those jatis, that is the place, that's where you're going to use. So that ragas and that, you know, at least for us, you know, which ones have that as a prominent. Yeah? These jatis relating to the dramatic performance should be known by the wise. Now listen about the notes prescribed in the instrumental music. Not so bad. Better than three pages.
Maharaj, in that case, where are the wise?
Where are the wise?
It is the producer, the actor, the audience.
The wise are the ones who know these things.
Yes.
Means.
Also the actor.
That's where then those who know that particular area of apara vidya, they can be consulted. But. Yet always the sentiments have to be coming out and moving in such a way that they're advantageous for how people will progress, you know, in the pastime of Krishna's pastimes and moving forward in the God consciousness. Does that make sense? So that's how you could have a devotee who understands that, then could be give direction to someone who has all this material knowledge. Right? So that's why Bhaktivinoda Kaur says this, one has to be very careful about that point of being fascinated, wasn't it?
Yes.
That we get fascinated. Oh, he knows all this, so he, you know, why are we listening to this devotee? We should listen to this guy.
Yes.
But he knows the technicalities, but he doesn't know what to do with it. That would be like a guy who knows all the cooking techniques and this and that, but doesn't know what to cook. So therefore, then how it's cooked, that can be directed, and then but he knows the technique. Does that make sense? So that's why you can have, let's say, the master of the house doesn't know cooking so much. Yeah, you know, it's that concept. But then he'll have a master chef, and that they'll just discuss, you know, I'm thinking of this and that, this kind of flavor, and he'll come up and like that. So he knows the technical point, but what mood and what flavor is wanted? You know, the point says, you know, I'm going to have a, you know, we want to have a few guests tomorrow night, you know, over in a few days. And so then the question, okay, well, how many, you know, like this, and okay. And, you know, I was thinking, you know, something light, something fresh, you know, something, you know, very tasty, very different in flavors, like that. And so then is it a meal? Is it a snack? You know, so then they have to work out, and then the chef can say, okay, these are the options, and they work it out, and then you end up with your and he can execute it. But still, without the thing, he wouldn't know what to do with it. He's a chef. He just cooks. He can cook anything. So what are you going to cook? I can cook anything. So what are you going to cook? Like, what do you want me to cook? I can cook anything. You know, like this, another infinite regression. So that's why it needs direction. That's why then the devotees here give that direction. So paravidya gives direction to aparavidya. So even though the volume of aparavidya is very great, but it doesn't make it more important than the paravidya. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing in the Vedic, is that you can have so much knowledge, but it doesn't change. It's just something you use. Like you see, is Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Rai. They can discuss these very technical things, but in a very, you know, without changing that kind of simple sentiment. There's no airs like that. Verses 17-22. The four varnas, melodic movements. The varnas on which the alankaras depend are of four kinds. Alankaras means like ornaments.
Yes, Maharaj.
Namely, I like this namely. That one I can relate to. Ascending, arohi. Descending, avarohi. Monotonic, stayin, literally staying. And mixed, sancharin. Okay. Literally, moving together. Footnote 2. In the music, the function of varna is to manifest a song. It's therefore called as the gana kriya. So in other words, you can take the notes up, you can take the notes down. You have a main kind of thing that it's always moves around. And you can have, having gone up, you can do the same thing up. Like means, I can have the melody down. Then I can move the melody up and do it on a higher level. But then there's also the one where you bring it from the higher level down to the lower level. That has its own flavor. Right? Does that make sense? Mixed with the sancharin and monotonic. Staying. The only thing that seems to me is that's the stai. Yeah, so you have the stai. Basically, you have the stai is the main note. You have the same thing done higher. That's the antara. Then you bring them down where they start with the one and it comes down to there because in doing so, there'll be some special thing like that. And then from there, you can go up. You can go... So, does that make sense? If I go from the stai up, I get to the antara. Mm-hmm. And if I go from the antara down to the stai, I get the sanchari. But if I go from the antara, the upper one, and go up from there, that's nowadays they use it, they call it the aboga. Like that. That you use that very rarely. Like that. Otherwise known as going through the roof. Mm-hmm. Yes? The varna in which the notes go up in the scale is called the ascending, in which they go down in the scale is called descending. The monotonic varna is that in which notes are the same and are equal in pitch. And when the various notes come together, they constitute what's called a mixed varna. These four varnas, having clearly defined aspects, are taken from the human voice. They relate to the quality of the three voice registers, sthana. Right? Because you have the sthana that you're working at, but you can go down an octave, you can go up an octave, and then above that an octave. Like that. So basically, you have the main one, and you'll work somewhere in this one and somewhere in the next one. So most people can go from wherever it is, they can go down to the middle of the lower one and go to possibly to the middle of the upper one. You know, so they basically have two octave ranges. So, you know, like that. So it's really... That's fairly standard. Some people it's a little tighter. It may only be like 1.5 or something. But that's why it's so rare when you hear of these people that have a 4-octave or 6-octave range or something like that. It's very rare. It's one individual here and there. You hardly hear of them. No?
Freddie Mercury, he had an extra teeth. That's why his mouth was deformed.
Oh.
And that's why he could make those sounds.
Okay. He could do all kinds of things.
But that was... His parents actually wanted to remove those when he was a kid because his whole structure was weird.
Okay.
But then he became famous just because of that.
Yeah, so it's like there'd be a couple of people.
Mm-hmm. Freddie Mercury, the Queen's...
The head lead singer. I think also, was it the original Mary Poppins? No. She also had a 4-octave range. And then, you know, there's a few people like that. There's not, you know, it's not so many, but they have. Because generally for most things that you do, you only have to sing within a certain range. And so it's fine. I think some, I'm not sure who it was. It was maybe some European guy or something. You know how sometimes these composers, they like to write something that's impossible? Like there was, I think, Paganini on violin. He'd write basically impossible stuff, but he could do it. So somebody wrote this impossible thing to sing. And then, of course, an Asian will come along and sing it. Yeah, so like that. So, yeah. So the sthanas means you have these, and then basically what you're saying is that you have the sa, the first note, and so singing around that a little bit above and below that, you know, in its register and a little bit into the lower one, that will be your stai. When you move that same thing up to that higher sa, where you're singing a little bit below that and a little bit above, that's called the antara. Mm-hmm. Right? That's the second position. That's that, you know, like that. That's going up, like that. Mm-hmm. Then when you take that and you bring the upper one, and it has elements of the upper and the lower, and you bring them down together, that will be this, the santuri. Mm-hmm. Right? And then if you start at that higher sa, and then go up into the middle and stuff up there, that will be the abog. Does that make sense? So basically all music will have that. They might have some variations within that. Like I think, who's our man in Vrindavan?
Iyengar.
Yes. He used to always like to make six parts to a melody. It means you have these four, but he always found you could do a few things with each one of them. So as much of the time, his melodies would have six parts. But some of them are just variations on this. So it means you only have these four aspects, but he would do, you know, maybe there's two ways you could do it, so he'd use them both. Like that. When a regular song adds at least two varnas to it, then the varnas give rise to sentiments, right? You need two. If it only has one, then it's very hard. So sometimes you have a melody that is only one thing.
Yes.
Like I think Madhava sometimes sings. Yes. Just one, yes. There's no variation. Mm-hmm. But generally that would be a sanchari. It's already mixed. It has the two things to it.
Yes.
Like that. Because otherwise if it's only one, you would want to feel it has to do something else. But the sanchari, because it mixes the two, it in itself kind of sounds complete. So then you could get away with it.
Yes.
But otherwise, generally you see all tunes, they have the low, then they go into the high,
yes.
And then when they go back down to the low, it speeds up again. When it goes to the high, you know, then they're able to do all those things, get all the tastes out of those two. Yes. So it has to have at least two, like that. So as you mentioned, if you say, oh, but this guy does one, that's because it's a sanchari. It's already mixed.
Yes.
These are to be known about notes arising from the body of the vina. I shall next explain the characteristics of the hollow musical instruments. Shushira todya. So when it says from the vina, because we say the vina, the original vina is the human voice.
Yes.
And then you have the stringed instruments. Like you remember, the stringed orchestra includes the singer.
Yes.
Does that make sense? There, yeah. Chapter's over, you're going to miss the next chapter.
Wow.
It's only half a page.
Very quick.
Yeah. Wow, we went to Chapter 30, hollow instruments, Adhyaya Prakashika. The current chapter elaborates on the characteristics of hollow musical instruments, of which the flute is the chief, right? You know, so you don't get more hollow than that. It itself is hollow, and then it has holes. Right. In a dramatic play, a unison of the human throat, the vina and the flute is especially praised. That combination is considered to be the best. And now, this is the fun part. Where's the origin of this?
Krishna.
Yeah, Krishna. Krishna plays the flute. Radharani plays the vina, and then there. Then they'll be singing, you know, themselves. Because
yes.
Remember, the flautist has to be able to sing. And we see from the explanations of the gopis playing, sometimes they go so fast. I mean, of course, they're singing, someone's singing.
Yes.
But before it was you sang and played. But then sometimes they're playing, the music's going so fast, you can't play that fast with your fingers. Yes. But you can sing that fast. So they only play some of the notes and fill in all the notes in between with their voice. You'd have to be really good to do that.
Yes.
To coordinate all that. So amazing stuff they do. But you see, it all starts with Radha and Krishna and their pastimes. That's where music, that's where drama, that's where sentiments, that's where everything comes out of there. Because it's the Adhirasa.
Yes.
So it's said that the gopis, they're singing at the Rasa dance, because there's 16,108. Each one is singing their own, because they're each individual, they're singing their own raga. So that's the origin of all ragas, of all melody. And with their feet, then the ankle bells, and they're dancing. And the beats that are going on, that creates all the talls. like that. You know, and that comes out of midnight. So the midnight raga gives rise to everything. So in the Vedic consideration, the pure raga is the midnight raga. It's the one that's the origin of everything else. While in present day classical music, because they want to, you know, kind of be systematic, then the morning raga, the Bhairav, that's considered the pure scale. So everyone starts with there. And then in the West, they use Bilaval, which is the notes that you know of the Western scale. You know, that's considered the pure scale. And even nowadays, some of the Indian musicians are starting to use that as the first scale they teach. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what part of the day that's from, Bilaval, but no. So, but the point is it's come the midnight rag, then that's the one where all the other ragas come from. That's why at midnight you can play any rag. Other times of the day, you generally want to play the raga that matches that time of the day. Okay. But at midnight, that's why they do the music concerts at night.
Yes.
Because then, you know, once it goes night, then they can use anything. Well, on the day, then, you know, if it's a morning program, you play morning rags. Evening, you play evening rags. At midday, you play midday. But if it's at midnight, you can play anything. Okay. Because they all come from there. Right. Is that
yes. So when some devotee told me that the Mridang guy is the incarnation of the flute.
Lord Chaitanya's Mridang, yeah. Well, because in Krishna's pastimes, then all Krishna's associates, then they come in his pastimes as Lord Chaitanya.
Yes.
But because he's taking the move right around, where's the flute go? Everybody else gets something to do. He has nothing to do. So then he was giving the benefit, he could come as the Mridanga. Like that. Yeah, so then you see, it's from these, then you get the percussion, and you know, everything develops. Yeah. As you said, the ankle bells that made the tall, so that's the solid instruments, and you know, like this. And so everything comes out of that rasa dance. Verses 1 to 13, characteristics of hollow instruments. The hollow shushira musical instruments, as the wise should know them, are made of bamboo. Hence, they were called vamsa vadya, or in short, vamsa, flute. The rules regarding their notes, swara, and the grama are the same as that of the veena. The notes of the flute are known to have 2, 3, and 4 shrutis, and are either shaken, kampita, half open, ardham, mukta, fully open, vyakta mukta. Right? So that way they can get different notes out of them. Mm-hmm. You know, so if you open one side, open the other side, you know, like that. Whether they just go like this on there, then they can get the vibrato, or even if they're doing it lighter, they can get what's called andolin. Andolin means you're going shruti to shruti. I mean, you're going, yeah, shruti to shruti. And vibrato means you're going swara to swara.
Yes.
You know, from one note to the next note,
yes,
back and forth.
Yes.
But andolin means you're going from the half notes, the quarter notes.
Yes. Yes.
So, like that, you can. So, basically, if you know what you're doing, you can get all the flute can also play all the shrutis and all the notes in that, even though it's so simple. Like that. The number of shrutis and notes produced in a flute will be 2, 3, or 4. And by prolonging the blow, the remaining notes may also be produced. Notes have characteristics determined by the shrutis, numbering 4, 3, or 2, produced by the application of fingers while playing the flute. Right? Means the other ones, it's just where the frets go, that's then how you get it. You know, the stringed instruments, or in the voice, you just, you know, move it to there. But here is that where you put the fingers. The notes of the flute should be perfected, literally accomplished, with the help of the veena and of the human throat. Otherwise, you won't know. You have to have something to go off of. The very notes which the singer will attain should be sung in accompaniment of the flute. A unison of the human throat, the veena, and the flute is especially praised. The music of the flute, which is steady, not very loud, and furnished with the varnas, melodic movements, and the alankaras, musical ornaments, and follows rules as sweet and soothing. Right? Mm-hmm. So it should be able to play the particular melodies, move up and down as it would with the voice that is. You put in the various kind of ornaments that will work nicely with the, you know, that you know that the flute does specifically. Like vina can do things that you wouldn't do on flute. You know, flute will be able to do things that you wouldn't necessarily get there. You know, but basically vina can get everything the voice can do. At least, you know, like Rudra Vina and like this can do. These should be known regarding musical notes by persons playing flutes. I shall next speak of the solid musical instruments. You made it back just in time.
Yeah.
Chapter 31.
And Maharaj, about the flutes, I think there are also many types of flutes. They are all made in bamboo, but there are many...
different means depending upon which note you want to emphasize. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to do low stuff, you would use those flutes. You want to do higher stuff, use the smaller.
Like for Krishna also, they could use different type of flutes.
Yeah, because it mentioned, Rupa Goswami mentioned he had, I think, can't remember, three kinds of flutes.
Yeah, the small one.
He has a medium one, he has a really big one, and a very small one.
Vamsi, Murali, and another
one.
Venu.
Vamsi.
And
Murali.
Murali, yeah, like that. Yes. Because the bigger ones is that, you know, you spread your fingers more and you can get more of the things. The middle one, you get more, and the little one has more holes. Because I think you don't do that quite as much. So depending on what kind of music you want to play, what you're emphasizing, then you play. So depending on what mood is there, he'll take his flute. Because it mentions the cowherd boys, one flute is they like the best. The gopis, another flute they like the best.
Yes, yes.
Like that. I can't remember who the third was. The cows or something?
Yeah.
Cows.
Yeah,
the cows. Yeah. So then, you know, or he could take two flutes with him. You know, I doubt he would take two big flutes, but he could take a bigger flute and a small flute.
The smaller flute inside the big flute.
But inside the big flute.
You can do that.
So, packaging ideas.
Hmm?
Packaging ideas.
Yeah. Yeah, we have the big flute inside the middle flute inside the small flute. Okay. So.
Okay.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai, Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.